imagine Jesus as the rock star. I thought I could tell you that I knew the name of his band. It's called Nazareth, I think. Sorry. I just couldn't resist at that point. In 2003, a couple of men who were fairly famous at that point for writing a number of provocative books wrote a book called Adventures in Missing the Point. I don't know if any of you remember that book. It's here. You might have guessed it was in my library. And it's called, the subtitle is called How the Culture Controlled Church Neutered the Gospel. The point is this. Often as not, we think we know what God wants. And so we busy ourselves trying to accomplish that. Often as not, we end up with a variety of disasters because we have missed the point. For many of us, this comes naturally. We get fooled, or we get way ahead of ourselves, thinking of what we would like and then transplanting that on to God. And our text this morning is something like that. The whole point is this, is that we think we know what God wants. This is the last Sunday before the Sunday of Lent. And this text holds a bit of a strange place in the liturgy or the different texts of the lectionary. So what is actually being said here? Well, let's just go back to Luke chapter 3, verse 9 verses at the beginning, and going all the way to 45. The 12 disciples, they've just been so named. And so Jesus says, why don't you go out and you can do all kinds of things? And they go out and they speak to people, they heal people, they go all over casting out demons, showing the incredible power that they now have as disciples of Jesus Christ. And so, having done that, they come back and they're telling everyone, especially the other disciples, and also Jesus himself, that this is something that they had no idea that they could do. And they're bragging, they're basically patting each other on the back. And now, here they are, and as they go into a kind of solitary place with Jesus, Jesus calls three of those, like Peter and John and James, and says, why don't you join me a little bit? We're going to go up into a mountain, and I want you just to watch. And Jesus does that. And as the evening draws on, the disciples get tired, begin to sleep. And what they do is suddenly wake up and discover with Jesus other people, two other people, John the Baptist, perhaps someone else they don't quite recognize, perhaps Elijah. And they wonder, what's going on here? The point is, they don't know what's going on here. They think they know. And then Jesus asked them, who do people say that I am? Someone says, John the Baptist. Someone says, perhaps Elijah. Another person says, oh, perhaps people say that you're one of the prophets. We don't know which one. Jesus asks them, who do you say that I am? Peter gives the right answer. You are the Christ of God. And then Jesus begins to teach them. And he begins by saying that they are invited to accompany him, and how little they know of him. So much for knowing what God is all about. Here the disciples have been thinking that they are part of God's great gift to humankind. They can do all these things, cast out demons, heal the sick, and what do they know? They decide to remain quiet because they have nothing left to say. The next day, as Jesus accompanies the disciples on the way to the next town, there is a big to-do. A large crowd gathers. There's a possessed man. He goes into convulsions. The disciples can't do anything for him. And so Jesus gets frustrated. Frustrated that no one gets it. And finally, he heals the boy himself. Then Jesus tells his disciples he will go and be betrayed in the days to come. This astonishes the disciples and leaves them speechless, again confounded, fearful, and irritated. Jesus finally just does everything himself and heals this young boy. You see, the disciples thought they were on a roll, and all they succeeded in doing was irritating Jesus. Talk about missing the point. The disciples thought they knew what was about to happen. And when their role was about to be revealed, they had nothing to say. They found out how little they knew about Jesus and how weak they actually were. I think much of our world is pretty much an adventure in finding out how much of the point we miss. What do we really think of when we think what would be best for our world? Do we think of being kinder? Do we think of being more generous? Or do we think that somehow the world needs more of us? I'm thinking I'm one of the good guys. I have been working here for 20 years plus. I've been privileged. I have been invited to go with Jesus and help the disciples with his mission. I have strong and indispensable qualities about me. Jesus trusts me. And then when the proof comes, here I am. I'm inept. I'm weak. I'm not very helpful. I'm irritating, cocky perhaps, and sometimes even in the way. But this is also what learning, or the beginning of learning, can look like. The disciples thought that they had become indispensable to Jesus, that they had understood his mission, and then they found out that they had no clue at all. They had no clue what the point was. They finally started to really listen. And that's when, in fact, Jesus could begin to use them. And so I ask you this morning, are you confused? What does God want to do through you with the people around you? I must admit, often I'm confused. Our world is so broken and in so many places. And yet, what can I do? The text that we're looking at here for this last text for the Sunday before Lent, it doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense. The point is that we want to do what God wants us to do, but we have no idea what that may be. Perhaps rather than to look for something extraordinary, glorious, maybe it's not to be so much the fixer as the person who consents to be fixed. Perhaps it's not to be the person who has all the answers, but it's the one who knows where to find the answers. Perhaps it's not one who is strong, but one rather who is willing to show weakness. Perhaps it's not to do the things for people, but rather it may be the thing to do with people. Perhaps it may not be the bigger and the better thing, or to exhibit the bigger and the better gifts. But perhaps it is to use my smaller and less noticeable ones. Maybe it's not to be afraid of what comes, but rather to trust in God for my future. What is God's point in our lives? Will we seek what God points us to so that we don't lose the real point? The text is strange, and yet the message is real. How does God want to use us this Lent? What is God's message for us this Lent? Who will we be this Lent? Will we be the disciples who continue to fail, who continue to see themselves as being God's right-hand people? Or are we the ones who are meant to learn, the ones whose weakness will become our strength? I trust that in your experience of Lent this year, you will find a way to hear God, to hear God's will for you, to put yourselves in the way of Jesus, to be taught and learn from the one who has called you, who has supplied all of your needs, who invites you to walk with him, even to the cross, and in so doing, open yourselves up to his healing.